We've gathered together this morning to recognize Jesus Christ as the way to live in this troubled world. And it's such a unique thing to stand in front of the body of Christ and to ask for prayers and look to God for the ministry of the Spirit to you in the front seat of your car, in the back seat of your car, as you listen and concentrate on what we want to say this morning. If you can give me your undivided attention at the beginning of the sermon, then you will follow me through it, and we will end and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. There is a habit maybe for some of us to look on our phone, maybe to be distracted by other cars in the parking lot. But if you can focus and give the Lord your heart and say and pray to him, Lord, speak to me. I need some spiritual food. I need to hear what you have to say to me to guide me in this life. Personally, I have experienced during this coronavirus time some projections that were clearly demonic. Also, some temptations that I haven't had in a long time. But I can say tonight or today, this morning, as I'm sure many of you can say, I am thankful that I developed a habit of meditation. I don't do yoga as some do, but I do meditate. Our meditation is Psalm 1. We must learn to meditate, have some content in our mind that is not derived from our own hearts, but it's derived from the new heart, the heart of Christ. The heart, we read when 1 Kings 15, God said, there's no one like David who has fulfilled the desires of my heart. Your heart and my heart is like the heart of David. We desire and enjoy fulfilling God's desires. How did that happen? I used to live my way for myself. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not live a troubled life. Troubled, lonely, depressed. But I gave my Son. I gave my Son. And he that spared not his own Son, won't he freely with him give us all things? Romans 8:32. And wouldn't the Son of God send us the Holy Spirit like he promised, and we would have the filling of the Spirit? That's how we overcome our temptation, by being filled with the Spirit. When the projections come from the enemy saying various things, we find the still small voice. Learn to quiet down And don't be driven by jealousy or envy and anger and easy complaints about everything in life. Learn. I understand. Proverbs 15, verse 24, it says, and as I said in the 9 o'clock service, I remember on 9/11, I was living in Hungary. It was late afternoon. I was getting ready for class. My wife called me and said, our country is under attack. A few hours later, we saw the images. We went to Bible college class, and I preached on this verse, chapter 15, and verse 25. I'm sorry, 24. The way of life is above to the wise. There's an illustration of this before modern navigation on the Atlantic, on a boat crossing the Atlantic, it had two compasses. One compass was on the deck for the pilot to look at. But then there was a compass up in a mast, fixed up there. One passenger said, why are there two compasses? The pilot said, because this compass near the deck, because the hull of the ship is steel, it may also be misreading our direction. So we need a compass up higher, away from the metal. In a sense, in our life, we have easily a compass down below that we read, and it can mislead us. Maybe that compass is what people say on Facebook or social media. Maybe that compass is the trouble we have in our country. Maybe that compass is the anger, the fear, the loneliness that happens in life. And so we read that compass, and we can be in the wrong place and go in the wrong direction, and that we need a compass up higher that is not going to be interfered with by the things below. The proverb says, the way of life for the wise is above. There's a compass above. And that's why we are here today. Because you and I are celebrating the fact that we've gone very far in our lives by paying attention to the compass that is above. That God gave us His Son, and His Son is speaking. Have you heard Him? Have you paid attention to what God says to you when you are in trouble, when your life is empty, and when you are lonely? Have you paid attention to what God has to say to you when you have sinned, when you have failed, when you have stolen somebody's money or somebody's bicycle off the back porch, or you've done something wrong? We had in another country a man who came into the church, and he got close, and then he stole the technical equipment, some laptop computers, and he stole them and he disappeared. And the pastor of the church prayed about it. And the Lord said to him, don't report it. Don't report it. The story's not over. So he waited and he prayed. The man repented. The man came back. And the pastor said, I'm so glad to have you back. God has forgiven you. God cares about you. Life is bigger than stealing. Life is about God. Life is bigger than pornography and other things that men and women do. Life is about God. the way of life is above, to escape the hell beneath, that he may depart from hell beneath. Somebody said hell is on the earth. We say it starts here, but it doesn't end here. Hell is here. It starts here, but it's far worse. Heaven starts here. It's here. God is here, and it's here, but it's far better. So this is our theme for today. And I just want to share with you a few thoughts about it. The way of life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, please. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, Jesus is speaking. My Father has given me everything. I often wonder about what that relationship was between the Father and the Son, and how the Son said, the Father has given me everything, and how Jesus knew this. Sometimes I wonder about how Jesus just ran to a quiet place, or didn't run literally, but in his heart desired very much to be in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. There's a lot of strife in this world. It's strife that is in the human heart. How angry we can be, how wrong things can be in this world, how much injustice can be in this world, how much it can touch us, how angry we can be about life. And Jesus was in this world and he saw it. And he said, my Father, you should know my Father. That's the key to life. If you could know my Father, I know the Father. And the Father has given me everything. And then he said to the, he said this, because, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Nobody knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It sounds like a closed group, a Father and the Son, and who the Son will reveal the Father to. In John 17, he prayed to the Father, Father, I have shown them your name. They actually know you. That's your life too. Your life and my life is the compass above this world. God is saying things to us from the Bible, from the doctrine, the revelation, the prophesying, the songs we sing, the spirit we have. The Father shows us the Son, and the Son shows us the Father. And we are in the Trinity, in a relationship with God. This is where we have our rest and our meditation. But there's a warning here. Easily we move away from the things that are heavenly to the things that are earthly. And we very much get upset and disturbed and very troubled by those things. We have seen it in the news recently this past week. Injustice, trouble, anger, protest, which is good, but not violence, not hatred, not hurting people. That's not good. And then the chatter on the social media and all of the talking and people getting disturbed and upset and befriending somebody and defriending or whatever it's called of somebody else, and all of this kind of chatter and talking, and people very sensitive to the compass below. the compass below that can mislead me, and inevitably it will. It may be good, but I've got to get it compared to the one above. It might work sometimes, but I'm not sure about it. I cannot trust my own heart. If I trust in my own heart, then I'm a fool, it says in the book of Proverbs. The fool trusts in his own heart. And then Proverbs 18, verse 2, the fool tries to discover his own heart. But we have shifted to the cross. At the cross, we find God. God meets man at the cross. And we shift to the cross, and that's where we hear the words from our Savior. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. I thirst, he said. I thirst, he said on the cross. Maybe we say that also when we're at the cross. I thirst. But what do I thirst for heavenly living water. I thirst for God. Have you ever come to the end of your party? The end of yourself? The end of your pleasures? Have you ever come to the end of your own self-life and say it's not working? I hope so. I hope you come to the end somewhere there where you say, I thirst. I come to God and I thirst. And give me a drink of everlasting water. Have you had any lately? Have you had the filling of the Spirit? Have you had the satisfaction of God? Have you had a word in season? Have you had the compass from above give you counsel? And you know the Bible says, even if I don't like it, I will swear to my own hurt in Psalm 15. That's a great verse for modern man. I will swear to my own hurt. That means even if it hurts, I will do the right thing. Even if I lose something, I will do the right thing. I've got to find the right voice in a world that is filled with noise and hear that voice from God say this to us. Listen to it in verse 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Lord, we're working very hard emotionally. Some people are emotionally exhausted. They're working very hard. Come unto me, he said. My yoke is easy. I have a word here from Dr. Dobson, who on the radio Friday gave a eulogy for Ravi Zacharias on his radio program. And he said, we've lost many great men of God recently through the last decade. Jerry Falwell, James Kennedy, Adrian Rogers, Tim LaHaye, Phyllis Schlafly, Chuck Colson, Chuck Smith, R.C. Sproul, and many others, men of God that have moved on. And what made these men of God? The compass above, the word above. What makes a woman wise and gracious and filled and satisfied? That voice from above, the Spirit from God, the mind of God, the Bible teaching that will teach us in the way that we should go. Then maybe we have a chance of gaining favor with in life. So maybe we have a chance of having authority. John 15, verse 11, if you have my word abiding in you, you will ask what you will, and I will give it to you. Come unto me. Come in meekness. Come in brokenness. Come with a devastated ship that's been in the shoals of life. Come. You've been in the reef. You have been destroyed. You're hardly alive. You're shipwrecked. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. And then he said, I will give you rest. rest. The men of God that still are with us, Beverly LaHaye, woman, Louis Palu, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, Jack Hayford, John MacArthur, and many others. And what about after them? What about the men of God that are needed in the next generation and the next one? And I would like to say that you never know. You might say, oh, I'm not gifted. It's not that. It's just have the right compass. You might say, yeah, but she's different. She's better than me. He's better than I am and all of this. This is all low, all below. Come unto me. And please give me your heart and pay attention to what I'm saying. Learn the book, the doctrines, the counsel. Recently, I've been listening to some messages from the past, from Pastor Stevens, and I'm listening and thinking about them, and listening and thinking about them. And I am so thankful. Lord, I don't know how this all has happened, except your voice is the key to life. I remember when I was so troubled and so upset with somebody and so disturbed by something that happened, and then I just got very quiet and I just said, God, I give it to you. I trust you. I want you to lead me. Trust in you with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. That's the thing. I think we do lean on our own understanding. I can do this. I can do that. I can get this done. I am smart. I am capable. I can do this. And the Lord is saying, please, you don't know what you're talking about. You can do many good things, but you cannot do this. You need me. I am the good shepherd. I will bring the sheep out and bring them in and give them pasture. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You need me. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the answer for your life. I am the one that will speak to you and teach you and lead you and guide you. Pastor Stan Collins sent me an email after Wednesday night message, and this is what he said. Barriers to intimacy is very important teaching. Time and time again, it has been connections with men that have saved me from being separated from the ministry. Connections made in Bible college, on outreach, at Eurocon, at convention, on missions teams and road trips, church visits, and lamb cons. Love you all, Pastor Stan. I was hanging out with the right people, and they helped me. I was hanging out with people that walk with a compass that's above, not the one below. I was hanging out with people that were joyful and simple and loving and faith and vision and talk from God. Our conversation is above. Philippians chapter 3, our way is different. Our life is not one of violence. Our life is one where we can change things through God. We can change things through love. We can change people's lives through mercy. We can seek and search and find. We can occupy till Christ comes with another spirit and another kind of way. It's light. It's not heavy laden. I will give you rest. Peace. Rest in God. Rest. God's way. Then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, animals have to be yoked with a wooden frame that keeps two oxen together. But when I married, I didn't have a wooden frame that hooked me and my wife. My wife and I were hooked up some other way, but it was a good way, a real way, an important way. In the body of Christ, we are together not by a document or a piece of paper, but another way, the oneness that comes through Jesus. Jesus is in our midst. Jesus is between us. He dwells here, and we hear him. And he walks in the midst of his candlesticks. And he says, you know, I care. I want you to reach some folks in the inner city of Baltimore this summer so we have June alive. I want you to care about people that are in trouble. I want you to care about the homeless that are right over here off of Route 40. And so Pastor Ray and his team goes over there many times every week and brings new people and shares with them and loves them. Or even in my neighborhood, of course, in my neighborhood, there's a quietness and a peace in your heart so you can minister to people. You can listen. You can pray for them. You and I care about our country. What do we care about for our country? Not the compass below. I care about my country with the compass above. I say, Jesus, what do you say about my country? What do you want me to do? How can I help? How can you anoint me to have an influence and to help others? Jesus, you are the answer for this troubled world. So this is what he says. Take my yoke. How do I get it? By being here. By listening. By when you go home, having times of just quiet prayer, reflection, meditation. Go for a walk. Trust God. Read a good book. Not garbage. Read a good book. Read a book from above. Read a book where it will stir your heart and help you in your faith. And then it says here, take my yoke and learn of me. There's too much learning without Jesus. Learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. You shall find rest unto your souls. You'll have peace for your souls. Not the sleepless nights, not the anger, revenge, vengeance. One man I met down in Latin America and Central America, he said he had planted 6,000 tomato plants. And one night somebody came, an enemy came and cut them all down. I said, how long did it take to plant 6,000 tomato plants? He said, 3 weeks. And somebody came and cut them all down in one night. I said, what did you do about it? He said, I couldn't do anything. I just had to go to God and forgive him. Or whoever it was. I said, did you ever find out? No, I never found out who did it or why. It's called an injustice, isn't it? It hurts. It can destroy the inner part of a man. The compass below will say, you know, never forgive. You'll never, you know, your anger and bitterness will grow. And you'll be a man of strife all your life. Where Jesus says, come unto me, learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. And if you learn of me, you will have rest for your soul. There'll be changes that'll happen. And power will be on the earth through you. And I will anoint you. I will bless you. I will use you. And follow me. And that's the way we must live. We are living in troublous times. And just to close and say that if we could make the effort to cast down the thoughts that produce strife and anger and jealousy in our hearts, and when that bubbles up from our own heart, know where what it is, where it's coming from, and how it's not my life. That's not my life. I don't want that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. That's the life I've chosen to live. And I want you, God, please fill me with your Spirit every day and make me a useful member of the body. And lead me to be humble and a servant. Lead me to be faithful in the little things. Lead me to understand that the little things that I do every day have an eternal weight of value. That my life is not wasted. Some people are anticipating a big thing so that my life has value. No. Be quiet before God and let God tell you you are valuable now. You are valuable now. You are his child now. He loves you now. Relate to him now. Maybe some, you have to do the social media thing some other way and or get off it, or you have to do something about it because it consumes your heart and life in a low level. It's a world of discipline now. It's a world of coming to Jesus and listening. It's a world of obedience to Jesus. It's a world of faith in Jesus. Some people don't have because they are not acting on what they know. Act on what you know. Do what he says, and you will find life, and you will escape the hell below. That's what he said. Okay, so that's our message today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, this is a cry to your people to be wise in a troubled world, to hear from you, to follow you, embrace you, and act on what you say, to go by another drummer, to live to another tune, to follow another kind of leader, Jesus Christ, to follow another headship, to be serious about another message, to follow the living Word of God, and to follow with all our hearts and go to the cross and lose our own life and trust you and live by faith in you. Maybe someone listening to my voice, you've never made a decision to say to Jesus yes to you, to act on it, to believe in him, to decide to say yes. I mean, you have something to entertain, but have you decided? Have you said yes? Have you signed on the dotted line, so to speak? Have you made a payment? Have you made a decision? Have you walked the aisle? Did you enter the building? Did you go for it? Did you say yes to God? Have you made a decision? Don't just entertain the idea, but say to God today in your heart, yes to Jesus. I need you. Save me. But not only save me so that one day I go to heaven, but save me so that heaven will come on this earth in my heart. Save me so that I will know how to live my new life. Help me, teach me, and save me. Release me with joy and faith and wisdom, and that it may grow in me, little by little, grow in me, and make real tough, hard decisions in Jesus Christ. I have Jesus and Jesus alone as my God. I have no other God, only Jesus Christ. Oh, he's amazing. Come to Jesus today, right now, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.